Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. Will I keep it forever? I might, just because it's still funny. Anyway, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio. Vilmos does my website. And Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song at the beginning of the show. At the beginning of the show, Mike Rickberg and Sarah Cohen, now his wife, and they just adopted a baby. That's right, a little girl. And then, so Sarah Cohen and Mike Rickberg, new parents. And then at the end of the show, Mike Rickberg will sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance, which is hilarious and super fun. Now, let's see. JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com both have a donation button on them where you can donate to the Dork Forest. I recommend you do it. Just, I don't know if it's, can you hear the avarice? Here's the thing. If you enjoy the show, I would love to get $100 a year from everyone. If you have more, that's great. If you don't have $100 a year, you can do $10 a month for 10 months, or you can use the Amazon banner on JackieCation.com, which is a white banner on the right side. All it is a portal to Amazon. You order normal, and then the Dork Forest gets a little kickback. And that's a way to support the show on JackieCation.com. You can order stuff if you don't have a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt or a Dork Forest t-shirt. You can order there. You can get a Dork Forest hoodie, which are actually in stock right now. Just email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, to make sure I have your size. And then you can probably just order it, and I will send it within the next couple of days. You can also get any of my CDs, hard copies of my CDs, or my DVD. This will make an excellent Horcrux. The CDs and DVD are all available for digital download on Amazon and iTunes. The DVD is available for digital streaming and download on ComedyFilmNerds.com in their store. It's just a $10 download. You get the special. If you buy a hard copy, you just get a quick DVD bonus. So if you like a hard copy, you can order from me. If you want to just order it from Amazon or iTunes, you can do that. You can also just listen to it on Pandora or Spotify. And I do get paid for that, so don't worry about that. And other than that, allthingscomedy.com is the umbrella podcast network that I'm part of. They do a lot of different podcasts. They also have videos, and they are doing a lot of good work. And it's run by Al Madrigal. I love Al Madrigal, you guys. Go out and see Al Madrigal do stand-up comedy. Listen to his podcast. Listen to a bunch of podcasts over at allthingscomedy.com because he's a good egg. Stand-up comedy. I do stand-up comedy, you guys. And this week, I'm going to be in outside the Seattle area, Kirkland, Washington. Kirkland, Washington at Laughs Comedy Club. Feel free to pile in your cars and come and see me. I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but let's get into the show already. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room in Van Nuys. I'm here with stand-up comic, also from Wisconsin, Nate Craig. Welcome to the program.
It's so good to be here.
Yeah.
So smooth.
Jack. We're going to, sure. What did, you know, it's funny because the Lori Kilmartin pod I'm doing, she's just like, are we starting? Is it? And that's how we start every week. And you're like, are we starting? Okay.
Well, there's a charm to that as well.
There is indeed. That's a great thing about podcasting. Mm-hmm. And, but we're year 10 here at the Dork Forest. So,
wow. So
you gotta pretend like you got some sense of professionalism.
Wow. I mean, I am walking into an institution right now, and it is an honor and a pleasure. And thank you for having me here at your Dork Forest Palace.
Here it is, the Dork Forest Palace here in Van Nuys. At Nate Craig Live, by the way, NateCraig Live, LIVE, on both Instagram and Twitter. And it's probably NateCraig.com.
NateCraig.com, quick with the plugs, right quick. Off top.
Well, I think
you treat
what the
your
heck.
Guests right.
That's it. So they know your name. And as we go along, they're listening. They might want to Google it. Who knows what's going to happen?
You can see who's clanking ice around in their coffee.
Exactly. And I'm going to need a picture of you that you enjoy, because I do a little slug on YouTube.
Okay.
2 days before the show comes up with a little clip of something we've said that is, I don't know, catchy, humorous, something along those
Jackie,
lines.
Jackie, teach me about my business, please.
This is just, I'm just saying, we're going along. I got malted milk eggs, by the way.
That's how you make it 10 years in
mm-hmm,
the game,
mm-hmm.
kids.
In the free podcasting game, nobody's better at it than Jay Cation. But we're back to this topic, a topic that I think I've tried to do before. And one day you're going to sell it to me, you people from Wisconsin.
Never successfully.
Well, no. I mean, I know more. It doesn't mean that I don't love that you love it.
Yes.
But it's Wisconsin, so it begins with the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
Probably
it does.
Ends with the Green Bay Packers as well. I think I saw a T-shirt the other day in the Milwaukee airport that said, when I'm cold and dead or something, is like I'll be a Packer.
Oh, I saw the same shirt. I was just there. It says, I bleed white and red till I'm cold and dead, but I think there was one for the Packers too.
Right. It was green and whatever. Who cares?
Oh, no. I bleed green and gold till I'm dead and cold.
That's
that
it.
Was the shirt.
I'll bleed green and gold till I'm dead and cold.
And I it didn't take much. The listeners already had figured it out.
Right. Well, they might have written that joke as well. It's a T-shirt joke. I think we could but I couldn't remember it, so I'm glad you did.
I'm all over it.
I just played my high school, which is South Milwaukee Rockets. Go Rockets. I'm wearing a South Milwaukee T-shirt right now in the style of the Schlitz logo. The mayor of South Milwaukee gave it to me.
That is, that's the old Milwaukee logo.
Is it old Milwaukee? I thought it looked like Schlitz.
No, that's the beast. That's the old Milwaukee. It's a great shirt.
Sure. It's a little sparkly too, which is good for middle-aged white ladies.
I hadn't
it's got a little bling.
It does bling a little bit. There is a high quality, vêtement. No, best believe I complimented it in my head several times before sitting down.
Sure. Why not?
And it takes a lot of skill to play your high school, Jackie.
Right. It was
400 kids, did you say?
400 kids at the assembly, 550 local. Somebody drove up from Chicago, regular just Ranger of the Dork Forest, drove up from Chicago just to see the show. And what did he say? After the show, he said, "Why are all your fans in their early 70s? And I said, "Because they're mostly related to me, or they're my teachers, or they're my brother's friends, or they go to the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center, and they have like season tickets." Mm-hmm. That was probably 200 of them, and it's all these elderly people. And it was nice though, because it was with Mary Mack and Tom Clark, and Mary Mack. The biggest hit, not the Tom Clark. Tom Clark crushed, and the juggler guy, Josh Casey, he did great. But Mary Mack has all these jokes about northern Wisconsin.
Sure.
And Wisconsin people are full of, hey, every state just wants to hear more jokes about their own state.
Yeah.
And she has got the greatest Wisconsin 20 ever.
Yes, it's a heavy hitter. Also, her accent is maybe thicker than
the rest of us, right?
Because when she dials that up,
yes,
it's a charmer. And
oh, I forgot to tell you guys, I was raised in the woods.
And she goes so high.
Yeah, pretty squeaky too.
She can really.
She had a sore throat though. She couldn't do any of the music. She didn't play the mandolin. She's got some good tunes. You know, she's a master's degree in music.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Might be a PhD. She might have got a MacArthur grant. I'm uncertain actually at what level. She might have a
PhD in the mandolin.
And the mandolin. I forget exactly at what level she stopped, but I know that it was over a BA.
I'm going to assume that it's a PhD. She's a doctor of the mandolin.
Sure. She's a doctor of the musical industry. So the Green Bay Packers.
I'm jealous of that.
Right. So it was a hell of a show. And we got to get you on the next one, Great Lakes Avengers Part Two, over there down in South Milwaukee.
I will do that with bells on, and I will ratchet up my Wisconsin accent.
Yeah, right. You'll bring it to the because you grew up in Madison.
Madison.
Did you grow up in the town?
I went to Madison West. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I'm from Madison proper.
Interesting, because I went to college there, there was no. I took the bus around.
It's an easy town to get around. I mean, it's all on that one little strip in between those lakes. So you can get around pretty good. You can also avoid the east and west sides if you don't want to leave the isthmus.
Right.
West is right next to the football stadium.
Okay.
So
Camp Randall.
It's just over the hill. So, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, that's great. Did you go to Badger games when you were a kid?
Oh, I started going to Badger football games and basketball games when I was 5 years old, 4 or 5.
Wow.
And I sold Cokes at Camp Randall to make money when I was...
Oh, you were one of the Coke kids?
Oh, for sure. Oh, that was the most money I'd ever seen in my life.
Well, yeah. I sold t-shirts outside the games. This was in the middle 80s, when you were still allowed to sell t-shirts outside the games. Mm-hmm. and they were all seconds and irregulars. Yeah. Like all the tags were cut. Right. And people were like, why are the tags cut? And I'm like, I don't know. I wonder why. Do you like it, though? It's a, it says Wisconsin with Bucky relieving himself behind a tree.
Sure.
Do you want in on that?
Sure.
Sure.
On a Chevy.
I think it was just behind a tree.
And it was Calvin and Hobbes before Calvin and Hobbes.
Very much so. No, I think that was the heyday of Calvin and Hobbes, 84, 85. Mm-hmm, that was when he was still, they were still coming out, new ones. Oh. Every week you'd be like, oh, what's going to happen? What's Calvin going to do? Is he going to go get on that sled with that tiger?
Yeah. He's going to pee on something.
I never went to a game. Never went to a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The reason I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison was to be in the marching band. And I tried out for the marching band, and my brother made me lose. I didn't make the last audition, which makes me think that I could have made the marching band, but I wasn't a great marching band person, so I might not have made
Jackie, I will entertain this with you. I believe
I would have made the band.
Yes, the band.
And Russ Cation, who is my brother and went to Madison before me and picked all of my classes first semester for me, weirdo. And
what did he do?
Well, he was like, well, now I know how to go to college, you know, because he had just graduated in 5 years as well. So he's like, let's do this. And so
let's fast track this.
Yeah, let's see if we can get you through in four. And five. Didn't help that he had me take fourth semester Latin and a 5-credit lab, both of which I got C's in. So
sure.
that'll really affect your grade point average.
Yeah.
So
I jumped into critical film analysis. It was a 500 level class my freshman year because I thought.
You thought you knew?
I had done. There was a film analysis class at West. We had a really good teacher.
Sure.
And he got all into Psycho, and he had us, you know.
So you were like, I got this.
Yeah, motifs and foreshadowing, and I get it. Yes. Critical. Yeah. Let me jump to critical, please.
500 level.
Yeah.
That's heavy in Madison.
Got a BC.
Sure.
I did think that I at least deserved a BC. I wrote my term paper on The Piano, and I was talking
about... The movie The Piano.
Okay. And I was just talking about sexism and misogyny in The Piano. And at one point, I would have to read the paper to see if she was...
But you were 18.
I was an 18.
Yeah, awesome.
I was 18.
That's the
19.
Best time to really address misogyny.
Really break that down. And
you cured it, really. That was the greatest thing about it.
Yeah, I solved all those problems. Those are long gone. And but I mean, keep in mind, I was raised by a feminist, and I was definitely on the right side of history.
Sure.
As far as my term paper on The Piano goes.
Yeah.
But at one point, the TA wrote, like, isn't this type of assumption the exact type of misogyny you're making reference to? And I was like, well, come on now.
Did he call you? Or did you think he was or no?
It was a woman. No, I don't know. Maybe I was being presumptuous in my
Oh, you'd
my
have assessment. To reread it.
I would
to
have
actually...
to reread it. But I just thought that note, that it really stuck in my craw.
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes when I think I'm being the least racist...
I'm being the most racist,
where I'm like, oh, that involved an assumption and an expectation and then a sweeping generalization.
Yeah.
But all of them were positive. Is that not? Well, I thought I was helping. No?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Right.
We could just treat people like people.
Yeah, you got it
but
right.
But honestly, it's a learned skill. It's genuinely, it's like the greatest learned skill in the world is how not to be But it is better to be raised with the idea, like I was raised, that not only were black people as good as white people, they were better and more noble because of what they had suffered. But I was also contradictorily raised that trust no one. So so I'd be like, I'd get in these situations with...
Starting with people that are different than you?
No, just all people. It didn't matter. My dad was equal opportunity jackass. He's like, trust no one. Everyone's going to steal that money. And mostly because he was going to steal that money. And so...
If I steal it from you, it's your fault. He was just setting it up to
entirely,
be your fault.
That should be sewn on a pillow on the Elliot Cation. Maybe we put that on his tombstone. And but... Yeah, so I mean, it's better to be. I think it's probably more exasperating. Like when guys say things, they're like, "No, but I'm just saying you're really pretty," and or whatever, and you're like, I know you're actually coming from the right side of this. Mm-hmm. It's just it feels a little condescending or whatever.
I'm sure I was being oblivious.
Welcome to 18, folks. Join the learning curve.
Congratulations on your BC. Never take a 500 level class again.
At Madison, I took a class on India. And I spelled Gandhi wrong through the entire 21-page paper.
Oh, no.
And I spelled it two different ways. I didn't even just spell it one way wrong. Mm. I spelled it, and it was I typed it on a typewriter. Mm. So there was no spell check. Mm. And
the H is after the D?
I don't know. I still don't know. I'm still spending cavalry wrong. So friendship still gets me in a pickle. But it's funny because one of my, because he fixed it, the professor, you know, he went through and he marked it. But and I got a B on the paper. But I showed it to a friend of mine who said, oh, I would have failed you in a heartbeat if you had spelled, it was about Gandhi. Oh, man. So yeah, I was like, well, he was Indian. He probably was used to the whole, and he probably wasn't married to the idea that it had to be spelled one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. It's like theater, right? Is Gandhi like theater?
Sure. There's, with the R-E.
Two different spellings.
Sure, that's available.
Yeah.
Okay, so we ran into each other last time doing a gig in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I am a sports dork. And I'm like, it's going to be a row, but let's do it. Because I need to know. So you went from when you were five. People are bringing you to games.
Uphill battle here.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Dork Forest.
Supportive battle.
I firmly believe, because I have a lot of friends who are, you know, comic book dorks and other assorted dorks. And, you know, my good buddy Kyle is, you know, he's a music dork. And
sure.
And I really believe that they all scratch the same itch
in the brain.
It's just
when you were wearing that jersey that you bought from the NFL store, that is cosplay.
Right.
You are that, Clay Matthews or whatever.
Whoever it is. In my own defense, I was not wearing a jersey at any point. But no. I do have a Donald Driver jersey in the back of my truck because it was a $3 jersey at a thrift store, and Donald Driver was raised in a U-Haul, which is a very great story to me.
Okay.
And then he went on to be a Pro Bowl receiver for the Green Bay Packers.
I've never heard of Donald Driver.
I'm sure 95% of your listeners haven't either, but the important part, raised in a U-Haul, Pro Bowl receiver, National Football League. I think the first time I went to Lambeau, I was Lambeau Field where the Packers play.
Sure.
You know, which is, and the Packers, the thing about the Packers is, if people don't know, they're owned by, there was, to pay for the, early in the history of football, teams didn't have money to travel, so they had to raise money to travel. And, you know, a lot of teams had owners kind of put up the money for the teams to travel and then, you know, made all the profits. And that's how it runs today. You know, Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys and he makes all the money on the Dallas Cowboys. But in Green Bay, they had to sell off shares.
To pay for like the bus or whatever?
To pay
for travel.
Yeah.
In the early days.
And
when did football start?
Oh, I don't know.
Or when did the Packers start? In the 50s or?
I wish I knew. 75. Yeah. I think we're up on like the 90th.
Season
or something like that.
Okay, so that'd be the 1910s or 1920s or something. So
and so Curly Lambeau was the he started the team and then the Acme Meatpacking Plant was one of the majority investors, and then a lot of other people you sold off or bought up stock in the team, and then that they had money to travel, and it's still the way it's run today. So that's something that Packer fans are nerds about, is just that's the only professional team in all of professional sports that's owned by the community that they play in.
That's left to do that, because it used to be more common, bought it?
No, I mean, there might have been along the way, mm-hmm. you know, a couple teams that flamed out or something like that, but the Packers are still around. And
they're the only ones that are still owned community-wise.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for that reason, they're a desirable job for people like executives. You know, our general manager right now is, they always talk about talent in banking and whatever, and how you know, that's why the executives make that much money, is because.
Okay.
That's a load of horseshit to a certain extent when you get to like incredible levels of pay disparity.
Oh, right.
But there is a certain, you know, pool of really talented people in every you know, industry. Yeah. And so the fact that any of them want to go to Green Bay when you could go to Miami,
right,
is a thing.
Because Green Bay in February, never fun.
You don't want to do it.
They have one espresso. it isn't great.
It's not. So. There's not much for you. And
the general manager? Does he get really? Is he paid well, or do you think he goes because it's community owned, because it's the Packers?
Well, I think the pay scale for all those guys is the same across the league.
Okay.
They're not going to go to.
Is it a union gig?
They're not going to take a pay cut to go to. Well, all positions in the NFL are
unionized.
That's
interesting.
Well, the Players Association is a union gig. Yeah, that's why it's beautiful that Scott Walker is such a. He every time he runs his mouth about what a big Packer fan he is, everybody's just like, you know, they're all unionized.
Right.
You know, like,
because he's destroying every other union.
Yeah, it's the most socialist. I mean, there's nothing more socialist than the Green Bay Packers.
They're right.
Owned by the community, then the players are all union.
Right. And but are the managers and stuff union too, or is that all? And what's with independent players? Are they not in the union, or they are also in the union, but they get more money?
If you're a player in the league, if you're under contract, you are paying union dues.
Okay. Yeah. Are there non-contract players?
No. Once you're on a roster, you are under contract.
That's a contract. There's a contract happen. So then you're a union player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can make bonuses or different kinds of, because I mean, there's no way that Aaron Rodgers makes the same as the guy who's on the bench, right?
Well, no. You know, he is. You know, there's a market set for prices for players as important as quarterbacks, and that's different than, you know, the market that's set for like a backup offensive lineman.
Or what about like when Brett Favre was the. See, I do. I know
you
many.
Do.
I know many
you do.
Things, but
you
mostly
do.
Through osmosis,
uh-huh.
And because I'm standing around people from Wisconsin most of the time.
It would be hard to
not
be from
know
Wisconsin
anything.
And not have Brett Favre have
right.
osmosed into your head.
Right. So Brett Favre is the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is the backup quarterback
at the time. Yes.
At the time, for 6 years, and never really got to play.
Never got to play. Yeah. I think
and
it was
then,
like, yeah, it was like,
so the pay disparity between those two guys.
Yeah. Huge.
Huge.
Massive.
Until. But it's all still unionized and it's via contract. It's just contracted. The union just goes to bat and talks
correct.
Individually.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Correct. No, there's a market set for certain
for
positions.
Certain levels.
There
are more, and,
there's a
yeah.
salary cap, and I think I just met Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
This
I saw
like
that. You sent me that picture.
That's the picture I'll give you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That, because I was a kid and I talked to him about the collective bargaining agreement that they just negotiated. In 3 years ago.
Okay.
They were going to strike.
Okay.
And I was just like, cause we were talking about a couple of contracts and I was at Largo and I was on Pete's show at Largo.
Pete Holmes?
Yes.
Okay.
The guy who owns and runs the theater over there, he's super Irish and the best guy. He's like, do you know Aaron Rodgers? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I see her. He wants to meet you guys. He's going to come back. I'm like, I'm from Wisconsin. Oh, I thought you were from New York. No, I'm from Wisconsin. I instantly went into kid mode. I was like, what? And I don't get starstruck.
Right.
But I'm a child about the Packers.
Right.
And this is the guy whose face comes on when the Packers come on.
Right.
I don't miss a game. I watch every game.
Right.
I am.
You know everybody who's on it.
I know every player. I know all the backups.
Okay.
I know.
Do you do fantasy football?
I do, for sure. But I treat that differently because that's.
Because it's fantasy.
It is. And yeah, you're playing points and, you know, and you're basically gambling with your friends and you're trying to know.
And keeping stats. But it's a rabbit hole of stats, right? And you end up knowing, like, who the backup players on other teams are, too.
Yeah, you know
right?
who it's called a depth chart. Like, if a team has, you know, because the roster's, you know, just almost 60 players, a game day roster. So because it's a rough game, so you can't just have one quarterback. There's a reason why you have a backup quarterback. You can't just. It's the same goes to, you know, your offensive line, your left tackle, your left guard, your center, your right guard, your right tackle.
Yeah.
You got to have more than one of those guys,
right? Because they're going to get hurt or tired.
They're big boys. They're 350-pound boys who can twist an ankle pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're strong as oxes, but I mean, underneath all that weight, like they could fold their leg up.
Do they? Do most people play the whole game, football?
Yeah, the starters.
The starters usually,
healthy, yeah.
Right, unless they get hurt, they play the whole game.
Yeah, the guys that play the whole game primarily are the guys that play the whole game for sure
mm-hmm.
Is your quarterback and your offensive line. Okay. Those guys are in there for every offensive play. Far as defense goes,
yeah.
You got a couple guys that are playing the whole game.
Okay.
And those guys take
the line has, what, 12 people on it? Are there 12 people on it?
There's 11 aside in football.
Okay.
So on defense, they're going to be swapping guys out pretty regularly.
Okay.
Because they get tired and
they're pushing tanks back and forth.
They are.
So
it's incredible.
Yeah.
So, the only people that really play every play is your quarterback and your offensive lineman.
Okay.
And then, you know, they'll swap in running backs, they'll swap in, you know, receivers. A receiver might
play
every play.
The offensive linemen are the guys who block for the
running back and the quarterback.
Got it.
They try to protect. If Aaron Rodgers is your most important player.
Yep.
He gets the ball from the center. You know, the center puts the ball between his legs.
Yep.
Like a little, the easiest Easter egg hunt ever.
Yep.
And, he'll get the ball and then they have to stop. These murder machines from coming out.
Right, and the center's one of the blocker guys too, right?
Yes, okay. Center snaps the ball and then starts to protect.
And then protects.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
I'm on it. So
I know, you know, the roster and stuff, and he walks up and I say, hey man, I'm Nate. He says, Aaron.
Yep.
I said, yeah, man, I've been going to Lambeau since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And he was real nice and it was goofy because that's the guy that comes on. So, I literally wait to see his face. And that's
right.
That's
and he was standing right in front of you.
That's nothing you can say.
And he was super nice and polite.
Another grown
and it's like,
man.
And was it after the show or before?
It was after the show.
Okay.
It was after the show.
I know that he likes
God.
Comedy. Well, yeah. And thank God you didn't eat it and it was good.
Right. It went well.
Yeah.
It was a little bit jarring because I didn't want to, you know, that's not, you can't say that to another adult male, you know, that you're older than. I wait to see your face.
Oh.
Right. So I just had to go right into, you know, I didn't want to talk shop with the guy, but, you know, I didn't know. I just wanted to show him how big of a Packer fan I was just so he didn't think I was being a weirdo or anything. And I was just like, we signed your boy Lane Taylor today, who's like a backup.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I knew that we signed this guy, who's just
walking around.
Just Aaron Rodgers.
He's probably a better football player than you or I.
Mm, yes, definitely. He's a better football player than 99.99% of the people that
right.
ever walk See, the
but
planet.
He's the backup
but he's
guy.
A backup that is a very – the fact that I knew that we signed Lane Taylor to a contract means that I get – the alerts sent to my phone from
Packers.com. And did he know who he was?
He didn't really care because he wants, you know, he instantly started talking to me about who he wanted to sign in free agency. And we started talking about,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, he was a player rep for the team. I mean, so like, you know, for as far as the NFLPA, the Players Association goes, the National Football League Players Association, and he started talking about the contract that they signed and how it was just very interesting to me because he was like, I wish these guys, you know, would hold out for more, you know, for more. I thought we should have striked, you know,
okay,
back 3 years ago when they were negotiating because the NFL makes 10, I mean, probably
because they
more.
Make all the money and the players don't make as.
They make a fraction of, you know, and granted, I mean, there's a lot has to be said for, you know, a guy like, you know, Jerry Jones or whoever who's going to go ahead and build a billion-dollar stadium. I don't know how much that new Cowboy Stadium is. It's got the
And the city didn't have to pitch in or anything? Or?
I'm sure he got funding from
because
the city.
Because, you know how like in Minneapolis, the only stadium talk I know about is in Minneapolis because I'm a Minneapolis comic, right?
Yeah.
And so they're constantly talking about the Vikings and the city is like, we're going to do a tax and we're going to rebuild the stadium and we're going to do this. And you're like, well, what if I don't care about the Vikings?
Right.
But I think – so the NFL – but they have this deal because it drives people to the city and then supposedly it's supposed to be better for businesses and then trickle down.
That's the
bullshit.
Pitch. Yeah,
that's the pitch.
That's the pitch. But then, you know, stadiums –
But did NFL, I wonder, do they do the maintenance on Lambeau or was Lambeau ever rebuilt?
What they'll do is they just did a whole new renovation. They put big bleachers up above the, you know, there used to be just the original bowl. And
okay.
Then
a balcony kind of thing? Or
Just a one-tiered bowl
of
seats. So no balcony, nothing. Just you could stand on the field, you get up into the stands, and you walk one step one set of stairs all the way to the top, and that's it.
Okay.
And then it was stopped. And then from like the, you know, on one side of the field, there was, you know, from the 40 to the 40 or yard line or something like that, there was a box of where the press would sit.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of luxury boxes in there.
Right, right.
And then they built that all the way around.
Okay.
And then they added 10 or 15 rows of seats. So they've moved those back and added seats.
Ah.
So they've renovated it every 10 years
okay.
that I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a gap. And then that last gap, they built bleachers even taller than the bowl. So now it's like, you know, they're
super high though. Can you see the game?
Oh yeah, it's up there. I'll show you a picture afterwards. My sister and my brother-in-law.
Have you sat in most of the different places?
I have in the field. I have sat. I've gone to Lambeau probably about 20 times. I have a friend whose uncle was an original investor.
Well, I mean, that's the crazy, like the guy who owns Skyline Comedy Club.
Yeah.
They've got tickets, which is why when they were offering me $600 to headline, and they're like, it's summer money. And I was like, don't you drive a BMW and have season tickets to Lambeau?
Yeah.
I think I deserve to be paid fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of paying people fair.
Sure.
But it was, but he's got like, cause the tickets that you can grandfather them, right? You can just leave them to people, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's how
there's
it
like
goes.
Legacy
tickets. Yeah.
Right. It's like my grandfather bought these tickets. I'm going to give them to my kids.
Uh-huh.
But can you get a ticket anytime? If I wanted to go to a game, I've never been to a game.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to a game. Are there tickets available?
Not from the box office, but I mean,
just scalper dudes or
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer. If you want, you can go to anything you want.
True.
Concert anywhere. You just have to go.
You and my dad.
You just have to go outside the building.
Yes.
It's a building. It's full of seats.
Yes.
The seats are facing the stage.
Right. Sometimes.
You can get those tickets to see
sometimes
that
people aren't sitting in them. So what right. you're saying is I could stand outside of
well,
the theater for
tickets.
Hamilton in New York City.
Yes.
And I could go see Hamilton.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes, you
All
could.
Right.
Yes, you could. I think that, you know, if you just go to the game, because, I mean, of course, it's daunting. Like, I'll never, you know, oh, Packers, Bears or whatever, big rivalry game or even the Super Bowl, you can go and it's not, you know, the market drops once you get to the stadium. And that's maybe not the case in small, maybe the Super Bowl is the one time
right.
when it's not, but I've never gone to the Super Bowl. I've never tested the live market outside the stadium at the Super Bowl.
But so the tickets are all sold though, pre-sold usually.
I believe that I'm pretty confident that I think now with the part of the, you know, what they were offering, part of expansion's
oh, right.
past. They
okay.
were like, well, with these new seats and this new expansion that we're going to pay with, we're going to pay for with, you know, tax revenue.
Yeah.
We'll make an extra 500 seats available on the day of the game.
Day of the
and
game.
So I think there are day of the game seats.
Which I would think because of the excitement people have, if you couldn't figure out a way to get to the game ever in your life, it would lead to riots. I've never met anybody who's cared more about Packers in my life than people from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And this is men, women, children. I mean, the greatest thing about being a woman is that I don't have to care.
Sure.
But if I were a guy and I didn't care,
yeah.
I'd get the razzed about it, you know?
I never do that.
No, you wouldn't do it because you're not a dick. but
well,
some people.
I think even the people that grip too tight, you know, I think they kind of realize that they're being idiots, and I don't.
Right.
I'm curious about that because I know that there is a little pushback on like, you know, like calling yourself like a nerd about sports is like kind of a, you know, an oxymoron maybe as far as like.
Well, Eddie Pepitone talked about hockey for a long time and.
Big Ranger fan.
Yeah. Or whatever. And, that's
and
the
Giants
team.
Fan. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And it's. I mean, but I don't know anything about anything. Like the guy 3 weeks ago, TJ Chambers was on talking about chess. I don't know anything about chess. So I think I just have a mind block when it comes to sports where I'm like, well, I'm not going to be cool enough to talk about sports, but it doesn't matter. It's the same kind of thing as a dorkdom where if you're going to talk about the band Chicago for an hour, which is what Jimmy Pardo did, it can't be any different than talking about the Green Bay Packers for an hour, which is also dozens and dozens of people. It's, you know, and have been around for a million years.
Well, to be fair, the Green Bay Packers have made way more money than the band Chicago. Not that that's
oh,
the measure
wait a minute,
of success.
Pardo, come on.
I mean, I just want to be, I just, I don't want to compare
Jimmy
apples
Pardo
to oranges.
Jimmy Pardo may throw down on whether or not that is true.
Oh, I want no part of Jimmy Pardo.
he's probably a Bears fan.
Even if he's wrong, he'll talk so fast I won't be able to.
Right, you won't be able to fight. He will win the battle of the words.
And I'm pretty sure he is a Bear fan. Yeah. So
he's a Chicago guy, so I assume so. Mm-hmm. And so, oh, so the other thing is so you go to the game. So you've sat in the end zones, you've sat in the middle, you've sat up high, mm-hmm. you've sat down low. Mm-hmm. So what's the best place to sit? If I were going to go see a football game, would it be in the middle of the field or pick a side?
My best seats I've ever had at Lambeau were at the top, on the 50.
Okay.
Those are really fun, right? Because you can see everything. You're nice, and you can, and it's also fun looking at the stadium. It's
okay.
Really, a really pretty place to watch a game.
And do they switch sides at halftime, or is that something out of grade school?
No. They switch. They stand
end
on the
zones?
They stand on the same side of the field the whole game. They don't switch sides of the field as far
they
as
they don't head to a different end zone
they don't,
at halftime.
They don't switch positions. Okay. It's
that's,
not,
that's a different sport. That's a different thing entirely.
It's not okay. Musical chairs. No, but they do switch directions every quarter. So they'll go this way for 15 minutes, and then if the Packers are trying to, you know, going north towards the north end zone, then in the first quarter ends and they're at the 20,
mm-hmm.
they will go to the other end of the field to the 20, and they'll be headed south now towards that end zone. And then they'll do that every quarter. So it's left, right, left, right.
I can't picture that. What do you mean?
Like if they're going, like if a football field is right here in between us.
Yeah.
Right. Here's one end zone.
Yeah.
Here's another end zone.
That's sadly not blank on the other side.
If your right hand is one end zone and your left hand is the other end zone.
Yep.
They're going right.
Yeah. They're heading towards my
right
hand.
During the first quarter. And then if they're at the 5-yard line about to go into the end zone.
Yeah.
But they haven't run a play yet.
Yep.
And the first quarter ends. Mm-hmm. Then they take the ball and they put it at this 5-yard line and they're going into that end zone now for the second quarter.
Oh, is it just so that everybody gets a chance to see me?
Kinda. Yeah. I think that's what it is. And also in case there's wind.
Okay.
Like if they, you know, because wind will mess with field goals and stuff.
Okay. So it splits the advantage.
Splits the advantage a little bit. So if the, you know, the, and then they have the coin toss at the beginning. It's like, do you want the ball first?
Okay.
And then that's the big decision. And
right.
And then they get to take the ball or not, and then the other team gets to pick according to the weather.
Okay.
Or wind.
Oh right, because weather or wind, because it might get better.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, yeah, you could try and get a touchdown for mm-hmm. the next 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and then hopefully the wind will die.
Yeah.
And then it'll be our turn.
Yes.
I see. That's an excellent reason to. Because I always wondered, why wouldn't you take the ball? You're going to be, like in basketball,
yeah.
you always try to get the ball. I mean, there's no, you can have the ball first.
Also,
you know?
Also, if a team's defense is better than their offense.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how the Broncos won the Super Bowl. They, they had, I don't know what they did after the coin toss, but their defense was the best.
It was amazing.
Their defense was really good this year. And the MVP of the Super Bowl was their linebacker, Von Miller.
But if your defense is better than your offense, wouldn't, at some point, your offense has to be good.
They have to come through. They definitely have to come through. But you might as well
batter down the other guy's offense.
You might as well. This is a phrase I love in sports. Play your game. You know.
Okay.
And for the Broncos, that's their strength. Play to your strengths. Play your game. You know that their game is their defense.
Okay.
You know, because they're well. Oh, and here's another thing. Because the possessions are going to even out theoretically.
Okay.
Because if you defer and you let them have the ball and you put your defense out there because it's stronger.
Yeah.
Your offense gets the ball first in the second half. They have to kick to you in the second half.
Okay.
So you're just coming out there letting you're saying, if our defense comes up with a fumble, they make a play, they get an interception.
Right.
You know, that's the thought behind it. That's the thought.
Okay. Because then you might get it twice.
Yes.
Kind of thing. You're like, okay, well, and if your defense is fresh and, I mean, how many games are there? 16 games in a season?
16 games regular season and then the playoffs.
Playoffs and then the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
So, and is, I know the term bye week.
Bye week, yeah.
Is it, what does it stand for? All I know is that the Packers aren't playing in a bye week.
I don't know what.
What it stands for offhand?
Yeah, I don't know what bye means.
I think it's B-I. It might be BYE. Who knows what it is? Someone will email me, Jackie@JackieGation.com.
It's BYE, and but I much prefer BI.
Just every other week. See, because I thought it was bi, because it was you got every other weekend off, is what I thought it was.
No. They you like to go have a lot of fun on your bye week.
When does the season start? Does it start in September or?
Yeah, it's August, I think. No. I think the first week in September is when the season starts. First or second weekend in September.
And then regular season ends when? December?
Regular season ends right at the end of December, like right before or after Christmas, sometimes maybe.
Right, because 16 weeks, every week there's a game. Yeah. But you don't usually play every – does every team play every week?
Every team plays every week except for they have one bye week. They have 1 week off.
In those 16 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And
so the regular season is 17 weeks.
Okay. So every team only gets 1 weekend off or 1 week off?
Correct, yeah.
To sit around and try to catch their breath?
Yes.
And do they try to do it in the middle, or where do they give them the bye week?
Yeah, I mean some...
They got to stagger it, because then everybody wouldn't have...
Yeah, it always feels a little bit better when a team has a bye week...
A little bit later? Or?
Later in the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
I wonder how they pick. Like, if they pick with a draw, or are they...
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's...
That's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, it's just scheduling. It's all logistics. Come down to, you know, if Chicago's doing a concert at Lambeau.
Oh, right. Right. You got to somehow reschedule.
You got to move for Chicago.
You know what I love about all of Green Bay and then up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is that there's signs. And I did a one-nighter run for Yoder one time that did an Indian casino outside of Door County in Wisconsin, and then several up in the UP, right?
Lock the Flambeau.
Sure. And I can't remember any of it. Sault Ste. Marie. Uh-huh. But all the signs outside of Green Bay were like, get out of town, go up to the northern, go up to the UP and go to an Indian casino and get a steak. And then all up in the UP, it's like, go down to Green Bay, get a steak, go to the Indian casino. I was like, wow, you guys are just symbiotic feeding off each other.
Yeah, the bottom line is get in your car.
Get in your car and get out of town for a week, for a weekend, because otherwise you're snowed in.
Yeah.
So you might as well.
If you stick around your Indian casino.
Right.
And eat these regular old.
These Joes.
Neighbor steaks.
Right. Even though Cisco is going to both of those Indian casinos and dropping off food. So,
right.
Yeah, it's not going to be, it's probably going to be the same food.
Exotic.
I did an Indian casino last summer outside of Ashland, and it was, you know, usually casinos go, or Native American ones do anyway, first season Quonset Hut, second year Best Western, third year Bellagio. Like, clearly, everyone's losing, and mm-hmm. they're going to keep adding to it, and then there's a bowling alley. Mm-hmm. And so the one in Ashland stopped at Best Western. It's been there 20 years, 15, 20 years. And I was like, you guys never wanted to add on to this? And the woman I was talking to, she said, you know, they never did add on. And I said, I think it's a particularly Wisconsin moment where the Ojibwe or whoever the Native Americans are like, oh, it's Wisconsin. They're going to take it away from us. Let's just bury coffee cans full of money. And I did the show, and then they also gave me food vouchers for the dining room. And the dinner food voucher was $12, $7.
Shut up.
$7, and I got a half a chicken and coffee. No pie. Anyway.
Well, $7 goes faster in Ashland. It goes further in Ashland than it does.
Oh, I can't tell you what $7 in Wisconsin will get you. It'll get you a lot of money.
I love you walking us through the process like that. Indian casino historian Jackie Cash.
Sure. Let's talk about it. But you've done Indian casinos where you show up the next year and you're like, it didn't look like this at all last year.
Yeah.
It looked like something else.
The chairs in the ballroom are the same, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, not enough people.
It's have you ever been to Foxwoods in Connecticut?
No, I have not.
It sticks out of it's very beautiful countryside, and it sticks out of this beautiful forest like the devil's thumb. It just goes up like 40 stories, and it's some of the most beautiful.
The devil's thumb.
It's literally, because there's nothing. All it is just a mall, a casino, restaurants.
The devil likes this casino.
The devil is thumbs up on this casino, and then the most beautiful. There's no reason, like the one in Oroville, California. I don't know. I've done a lot of Indian casinos, I guess is what I'm saying, Nate Craig.
I just did the racetrack in Yonkers.
Oh, did you?
That was an interesting experience.
Sure.
Real big.
Oh, my God,
huge
I bet.
Huge facility.
Horse racing or dog racing?
Horse racing.
Okay.
What was the name of that thing? It was, I mean...
Yonkers, New York?
Yeah. I mean, it's well, it wasn't right next to Yankee Stadium, but I mean, it was a real New York joint, you know. Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
I bet just full of New Yorkers.
Under attended show. Under attended show. You know,
Yeah. Have you ever got to see the Packers on the road?
I have. I saw them at Candlestick the last year. The Candlestick is where the San Francisco 49ers and the San Francisco Giants baseball team, the Giants, played. It's where I believe when there was an earthquake in the World Series in 1990 or 91.
Yeah, it was in the 90s. I remember it.
And that's where the game was happening.
Oh, fantastic.
And so the 49ers used to play there. And the last season that they played there, the Packers, week one, played at Candlestick. And
I
went to that game. I also went to every game in Chicago. When I lived in Chicago for 8 years.
Okay.
And I went to every Packer game at Soldier Field.
Okay.
And then 1 year the Bears were renovating. Soldier Field is where the Bears play. And 1 year they were renovating Soldier Field. They turned it into a spaceship. and they played at the University of Illinois in Champaign. And I went down to that too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
I've seen.
There's been some destination football.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I've never been to Minnesota. I've never been to a game in Minneapolis. I've never been to a game in Detroit. That's the division, the Packers division. You play your division team, every team in your division twice a year.
Okay.
So it would make a lot of sense to go. There'd be
how many people are in a division? How many teams are in a division?
I think it's like four across the board now. I think there's no divisions with five anymore.
Okay. So half of the games are within your division.
Correct.
Of the season.
Yeah, you're playing.
And then the other half are outside the division?
Correct. You're playing eight division games a year.
Okay.
And that's
how many divisions are there?
There's the National Football Conference and the American Football Conference. That's the NFC and the AFC.
Okay.
And there's four divisions in each conference.
Ah.
So there's 16 teams in each conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then 32 total. And, sorry. And
no,
then,
no, that's
and,
good.
And then, and so, and so, it used to be there, I think there was, it wasn't so mathematically symmetrical.
Perfect. Yeah.
But now it is. So there's a NFC North, South, East, and West. AFC North, South, East, and mm-hmm. West. And the Packers play in the NFC North.
Okay.
With Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit.
Wow.
And, speaking of symmetry, I don't know how much time we have, but
sure. We're good.
My second sports priority is the Wisconsin Badger basketball team.
Oh,
and they just hit a buzzer beater to go to the Sweet 16, which is I'm just thinking math now.
That's
the NCAA tournament.
March Madness. In it.
We are mid madness.
There's madness all around us.
Yeah,
and basketball craziness is happening. And the Badgers actually did really well, right?
They did. They hit a buzzer beater to beat a team way better than them.
Okay.
Xavier. Of the Jesuits. And
where are they from?
Xavier's in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And
Cincinnati, they play a fancy Milwaukee.
complete with a river. No lake, but they have a river.
We have a river. Milwaukee has a river.
They do have, but Cincinnati has a hill.
Cincinnati has a hill. Oh, that'll do it. All right.
And a view of Kentucky. Xavier was a way better team than us, and we somehow got past them. They were playing the Big East.
Okay. I sold t-shirts outside the state basketball, you know, the high school state basketball tournaments
in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin would be held in Madison.
Uh-huh.
At
the Fieldhouse.
The Fieldhouse.
That's where I used to have season tickets to the Fieldhouse.
And that was usually in late January, early February. And that's when you want to be standing outside for 8-9 hours
right.
outside the field house
right.
over. And you're like, can I just go to Mickey's and get a cup of coffee? And they're like, no, we're all just going to sit here and freeze. And
Mickey's Dairy Bar.
Mickey's Dairy Bar, but which is a perfectly good diner.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And, I worked for, it was called Sweet Teas. Sweet Teas. And it was Sid and Mark Sweet. And they printed up the t-shirts themselves.
Sweet name.
And we would sell like hats that had jock straps, like a jock strap design. Uh-huh. And it would say athletic supporter on it, Badger athletic supporter.
Sure.
And
Is this where your comedy career started?
No, this is where how I paid my way through college.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I would make at least $300 a day.
Wow.
Yeah, because
sweet deal.
Sweet deal. Sid Sweet paid a fair percentage.
Nice.
He knew it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And you also had to load and do your own.
Yeah.
Sid had a policy. He was like, at the football games more than at the basketball, because you were selling with Mark and Sid at the basketball games. But at the football games, you would do inventory before the game and do inventory after the game, and the prices were set. But if everybody was drunk enough, you could charge whatever you want. And so I'd probably make $300 for a weekend. I'd make probably $600 or $700 for the basketball games, but the football games I would probably make between $250 and $300 a day. And some of that was just my brothers. Most of my family worked for Sid Sweet I have five siblings.
It's a good hustle.
And it was a hell of a hustle. And Phil liked to play a game. How much can I sell this pom-pom for? And
what was pom-poms, the record?
Well, the rate was $1.50. And I think he sold it for $3.50 was the most. Him and his buddy Bobby Burrow were having a contest who could sell. But my friend Judy Butchkowski, she was like, I don't want to have that contest. I want to have a real contest. Like the sweatshirts, they were seconds. And they were hooded, not zip, but just regular pullover hoodie sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. And they were $15 a piece. And she would sell them for $20. And I would sell them for $17. I didn't have the guts to gouge quite so hard. She was like, I don't think you realize how drunk everyone is, Jackie. I grew up in Mosinee, which is a paper town up north of.
Sure.
Yeah.
smells off-putting.
Sure. It's paper.
Waste.
Yeah. It's just particle board.
Yep.
You're swimming in it. Mm-hmm.
Well, now let me ask you this. Did you have to, did you have to have a permit to sell?
Yes, it had permits.
Okay.
Yes, it had permits for everybody.
Cool.
And when the permits went – after I graduated in 88, the permits, they started phasing them out. They were like, it's an eyesore, all those tables. But Sid had started initially selling inside, and they were all licensed. And like we sold – he had permits, but we sold the dumbest. They were just fucking Bucky t-shirts, like 1,000 fucking Bucky t-shirts for no reason except for that everybody had $6 and wanted a fucking Bucky t-shirt.
Fucking Bucky.
Yeah, and so
with Bucky Badger and his middle finger out.
Flipping you off. And the hockey ones were Puck'em Bucky. Puck'em Bucky. Huh?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? You get it? Okay, it was exhausting. And so.
Why don't you like sports, Jackie?
I think just the sheer enormity of sports fans, because at 9 o'clock, everybody's just making brats and starting drinking right at 9 a.m. So the game starts at noon. I got to get there at 7 to start setting up to sell. I sell until the game ends around 4:34. I'm there till 6. And I've been standing outside, and it's been 15 degrees.
It's exhausting.
Right. I was just tired. But it gave me money for school for 5 years.
Yeah.
So you got to love.
You know, I did this. Me and my buddy had a clothing company, and we had a permit, and we had a spot. They got them painted off now.
Oh, do
they? And they might have brought them back because.
What decade? What year is this?
This is, we did it. We came up with a couple designs. My buddy made a hat.
It just
had the outline of the state of Wisconsin on it. And I was like, that's dope. I was like, I want one. And he made me one. And I was like, we could sell these.
Right.
And then we just decided to go ahead and we could sell a bunch of stuff. We could do this with sweatshirts. We could make different designs. We could make our own joke shirts, you know, like.
And this is when you were in college?
This is when I was in Chicago at this point, but he went to my same high school. And so we would come back to Madison all the time, and we were big, you know, Badger football fans. And
so you were coming back anyway.
We might not have come back for the games, but you know, it was fun, and it was and we still had a bunch of friends in Madison, and you know, it was like your situation, only we were our own bosses.
You were your own boss. Yeah.
And we had a stand. So, and he's a loudmouth like I am.
Right.
And we would just, our friends
talk
would,
it up.
Our friends would
it up.
Stop by. Well, my dad grows dahlias.
Okay.
And so we would give flowers away. It was kind of a fun, it was really fun, actually.
Right.
We had a blast. And we would.
What year is this?
This is 2005. I believe.
So there were still permits to be purchased outside the stadium, outside Camp Randall.
Correct. And I'm trying to figure out why, because you said that they went away, and I'm
they must have come back in a limited fashion, which is awesome.
Well, I bet you this is why they did it, because, you know, Barry Alvarez, I think, has, who's the athletic director now at Wisconsin, and he's the one that made the, because the Badger football program used to be terrible. Which there was really no excuse for it, because
the band always awesome.
The band crushed the football team. Mm-hmm. The band's still awesome. And, you know, I maintain, you know, that band needed you.
Right.
And whatever your brother
I got
did,
a hat. Mike LeCrone signed it. My life is complete.
Okay. All right. So, you know, that makes everything.
That does help.
Feel easier, better to you, but I'm still, it's still
You're
hard
like,
for me.
Like, come on,
well.
You could have been the best trumpet player.
You played the trumpet? I played the trumpet.
Did you?
Yeah, I played the trumpet in band in middle school, and I loved it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, and that's something that happened. All my friends played sports. My parents are both music teachers.
Oh, weird.
But it was kind of a flip.
Like, yeah.
I was pushed into music, and then my way of rebelling was going into sports, where
that'll happen.
Most
the other
people
way.
Are pushed in. It's the other way.
Yeah.
It's the other way. But I loved the trumpet.
What do they play?
My mother played the cello. And my dad was a voice major.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. He taught music at Edgewood High School in Madison.
Do they?
He's a choir director at Edgewood.
And did they both play the piano?
Yes. Poorly.
Poorly,
yes,
but fun.
Yes. There are pianos in both of their houses. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's nothing more fun than sitting around with someone who knows how to just shittily play all of the, like, songs from Oklahoma.
You
had to grow up just singing weird.
I didn't realize how cool it was. How cool it was. I thought sports was everything.
Right.
That was what my head was.
Well, at least they brought you to the games when you were little.
Sure. No. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, I mean, that's a silly. But I definitely do remember how much I loved music when I could do it.
Right.
When I could do it. But yes, for the majority of my youth, the band was the best show at the games. And then this guy comes in, Barry Alvarez, and he turned the football program around, and he just turned it around so much that he could do anything. And he got, I think, licensing rights to changed the Wisconsin W, which I love the old one better. It's like the kind of classic.
Yeah,
block.
He made it swoopy.
He made it. It's called, there's a name for it, which he, I think he might have even, I don't know if patented.
Is it called the Barry Alvarez?
It's called the Motion W. And it moves a little bit on the helmet. It's got an arc to it.
Huh.
Yeah. And you have to sell. If you sell any W, any apparel with a W on it, you have to pay a percentage. And so, we would do our thing, and we would make our own clothing. So we would have W's, and guys would come up to us, and like a little group of like three old men would be like, "This has all got to go. You can't sell any of this."
Mm-hmm.
We're like, what do you mean? The W, all the Wisconsin stuff. That doesn't stand for. It stands for Washington. And we fought them on it for a couple of weeks. They never came with the paperwork or anything.
Right. There's no way to actually make you.
Yeah.
Like people would come to, like those three guys, probably their kids.
Same.
Or their dads. Right. It's like the same. It's like some generational.
They were ancient. It was the same three guys, I'm sure.
You know, at the church when there's always the old guy who gets to be in charge of passing the basket. That's hereditary. Yeah. Anyway, so it's, but they never brought the paperwork. And you're like, why don't you? I'm not going to change unless you have some sort of legal document that makes me do.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. So you guys, you know, what's funny is my brother Phil made furry, you know, they look like those aviator helmets, like Amelia Earhart's, right? But they were green and gold, and they had green, they had a Green Bay Packer logo on the side of them, but they were fuzzy hats that were warm. And Phil sold them in the, yeah, I think it was in the early 90s in front of the games. He just had a bag full of furry hats, $10 a pop, and
sold.
He would make $1,000.
He had them made?
Yeah, he had them made, and he walked around Lambeau, and because he tried to be a scalper for a while, consistently getting his tickets stolen. Not constantly, but more than once.
Like he would get jumped?
Yes, or some guy would say, well, let me see him, and he would hand the entire stack.
No.
Phil Cation is a very sweet man.
Phil
Cation, the sweetest guy in the world. He might be listening. He might be listening right now.
Oh man. That sounds like a couple bad stories.
Oh my God. Nobody has better stories. Yeah. Nobody has better stories than Phil Cation because he used to hitchhike all over America, right? And And he tells stories now. He's like, you know, I look back on some of those, the women who picked me up, and I'm like, I bet they wanted to sleep with me.
Sure.
They might have,
maybe,
Phil, or you might have at least asked. And the one time I picked up a hitchhiker, the guy was so confused, he actually said to me, so did you want to have sex? And I said, no, no, I thought you needed to go past Agoura Hills. And he was like, I do. Okay. And, but he was so, and I told Phil, was like, well, why did you pick up a hitchhiker? I said, because so many people have historically picked you up. I wanted to pay it forward, pay back a little bit. Uh-huh. And he goes, let me pick up hitchhikers. You were a yeah. lady alone. Yeah. Please do not pick up hitchhikers.
Yeah.
It's weird. And it's always going to be weird. And yeah. even if it's not unsafe, it's still going to be weird. So yeah. do us all a favor. And I was like, fair enough. I want to help. And
that's good advice from your brother.
It is
older brother, younger brother.
All older. Okay. All, a lot of bossy. I was trying to give advice to one of my brothers when I was home, and giving advice up in the chain of birth order is like trying to lure a wounded bird into your hand quickly. Just I just thought I'd tell you this nice thing about your kids. No, okay, and no, how about some birdseed? And so you can't really do it. You can't really.
I like to think I take advice from my younger sister, but maybe I don't.
Maybe you don't. Maybe she's got to play it in circles and then get you.
Maybe I just.
So,
She's way smarter than I am.
Well. What I always say is you can't boss up, but you can judge. That's all. That's all I do. I judge my siblings. They're okay. all older.
Well, that's what she does.
And, sure. That's what she's got. Now, I want to, before we go.
Okay.
I know that we barely scratched the surface because we didn't get to talk about hockey. We didn't get to talk about basketball, but
okay.
I like this, that you believe college players should be paid, which makes perfect sense since they seem to be playing at a professional level.
Yes, and
right.
they're damaging their bodies for their entire lives.
Right,
some
and there's
of these guys.
And there's no veterans benefits, right? I mean, there's no college football veterans benefits.
Yeah, there's a very low percentage of these guys is ever gonna you know
make it to the pros, right?
Actualize the position that this college athletic career is putting them in.
Sure,
you know. Which is ostensibly a shot at playing professional, but
yeah.
that's not, you're not guaranteed to get drafted. You're definitely not guaranteed to make a team. I mean, getting drafted does not at all mean that you make a team.
No,
in the NFL.
No, my niece was dating this guy who played for Arizona, and he got drafted to the Houston, whatever, or the Texas Texans or whatever.
Houston Texans. Yeah.
Yeah. And he dumped her.
Uh oh.
Because he was like, his mom said that she was a gold digger, but she had been going out with him for like 4 years. And then he got dropped by the team.
Mm.
And then he comes back and she's like, I don't think you believed in me that we were in this together. And so you're creeping me out. And so she had to kind of let it go.
Good for her.
Yeah. And, but what a terrible life choice on his part. Cause you're like, wait, the woman who met you when you were only playing college football.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not nothing. I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, but. And he was a good, I guess he got drafted.
Sure.
But.
Yeah, no, he was.
I think he bought a very nice car with his draft money.
Big man on campus.
Yeah. Or he was actually a tiny buff dude. He was like one of these guys. He looked like a tiny tank of a man. He was, some sort of end receiver or something.
Okay, yeah.
Is that a thing?
They're all smaller than you think.
Right.
You know, they're all, you know, 5% body fat or something astounding.
I thought he would be like, I don't know, like 6'4 and like 300 pounds, but he was a running guy.
Yeah.
So he was probably 5'7.
It's all about speed.
Yeah, he was 5'7 and he might have weighed 200 pounds because he was a fist of a gentleman.
Yeah.
He was just
Even the biggest guys on the field, I mean, some of those guys are houses. I mean, they are 6'2", 360.
Yeah.
They're the biggest people that you'll ever see. You know, but a lot of them, it's all about speed and strength. You know, they can be 5'10", you know, 270 and just a explosion of a person. And that's
kind of a learned skill too, to be that big and be able to move that quick.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, that's
sure.
got to take like a lot of just practice.
I think it's just boils down to joint strength.
Yeah.
You know, can your muscles may be strong enough to do it, but when they move your ligaments and your cartilage around at that speed, do they stay together or not?
Yeah. How long do they stay together?
Right. Or do they fall apart? And that's,
because you can't sustain that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, those. Did you see Concussion? I did not see Concussion.
I didn't see it. I heard it was good.
Yeah, I heard it was very well done.
I just think, and this is something that I actually, you know, I was talking about with Aaron Rodgers, like the settlement. I said, you guys just need, going back to the Players Association, because yeah. Aaron Rodgers said that he was a player rep the year that they were negotiating this new contract.
So okay.
He was talking to all his players on his team. Yeah. He was communicating that to the Players Association and, you know, what they want to do and what they think was right and what they thought was the best move for the players as a whole, the union.
Yeah.
And he was in favor of striking and whatnot. And then there was this whole issue with, you know, the settlement basically for concussion, this concussion settlement.
Oh, right.
You know, you don't just have every player now, you have every past player.
Right.
We're talking about tens of thousands of players who have built this league up to a point where it makes over $10 billion annually. That
right.
is staggering amounts of money.
Yeah.
And it's built.
It's not like they don't have it. They have money spread around.
The value of these franchises
yeah.
is massive. You know, I think the Cowboys valuation is like $2 billion or
wow.
something more like that. It's
that's insane.
The values of professional franchises in the world, you know, there's the Yankees, and then there's not Real Madrid, but whatever the big one is.
Oh, the soccer
Man
team?
U, Manchester U, I think
yeah.
is like the big
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
And those are the only two that aren't NFL franchises that are in the top 10.
Okay.
Every other one is an NFL franchise.
Wow.
It's like the Packers, the Cowboys, the Steelers,
yeah.
you know, all the successful ones that mean because the TV rights and the licensing rights and the apparel rights. And it's
yeah.
just the NFL's massive. People watch it. The deals with and ESPN, the fantasy football, everything goes, they funnel all that money back up to,
right.
to the owners. And so, you know, these guys, the league is built on their backs and their necks and their heads.
Right.
And they're all having issues now where they're going crazy and they're losing their mind and they're falling apart because of all the stuff that they did to be, you know, and the same
right.
goes to college players. You know, the settlement was like $700 million.
Which is a drop in the bucket.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
You're talking about at best a half $1 million, not even
a player,
$100,000 a player.
Yeah. That's not,
if you average it out. That's absurd.
Yeah.
If they have, they can't live their lives anymore. They have dementia.
Yeah.
And they can't enjoy their you know, grandkids.
Children or grandkids,
that's
yeah.
ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. It was so bad that the Players Association agreed to the settlement.
Yeah.
And the judge was like, this is awful. Get it out of here.
Right.
The judge refused it to
right.
accept it
on
behalf
like
of the player.
Right. He's seen football.
Yes.
He knows how the game goes.
He's like, the math is terrible here. You guys are Neanderthals. Get somebody in here who can figure this out.
Right.
And
how about at least 1 year's pay? $10 billion.
Right.
How about just 1 year?
Just the worth of the league for a season.
The worth of the league for the season. And then guess what? There's always next season. You
yeah.
guys aren't living check to check. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. And I mean,
yeah.
and the funny thing is that's like completely arbitrary, but it's still way more appropriate.
Yeah.
And this pittance that
I
they were offering.
I am good. I am huge on arbitrary.
You pulled
I will
it out.
Make a snap judgment in a minute.
Well, you're so,
without any information. I'm like, I'll give you a number.
According to that judge, you're already smarter than the National Football League's Players
well,
Association.
That'll happen too. That'll happen. I should clearly. Nate Craig, I have to tell people that you have albums, plural. How many albums?
I have two that I released on the internet and everywhere in the universe.
Yeah. So they're Amazon and iTunes, but people
iTunes.
Can just listen to them on
Pandora
and Spotify.
They're out there. You can catch me on, you know, satellite radio. But yeah, Nate Craig Infinity.
Okay.
I recorded that at Go Bananas Comedy Club in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right. Augie Smith recording that this weekend.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Augie.
Yeah, he's great.
What a cool guy. I met Augie at Go Bananas.
Oh, there you go. He loves that.
Years ago.
He loves that club.
It's a great
yeah.
club.
I've never played that club.
Oh, you'll love it when you do.
All right.
And then Nate Craig Eggshell recorded at Zany's Downtown.
Eggshell.
Ooh.
The Downtown Zanies?
Downtown Zanies.
All right, the long one.
The long one.
Yeah, sure. That's the only one I play. That's the only one Bert puts me at that one. And I'm like, I'm in. It's
fine. Well,
that's
the best one.
It's fine. I just wish there was a hotel instead of a perfectly nice condo that hasn't had the carpeting replaced in 20 years.
Right. And also the heat was broke. I was there during a vortex. It was the week I recorded my album. It was negative. I'm serious about this. It was -2 outside and the heat broke. And he was like, well, what do you want to do? I'll put you up in a hotel. And, you know, I was just like, I've turned on the oven and I opened it. Work like a charm. I'm a team player, Jackie.
You are a team player, a comic, where you're like, well, I don't want to make trouble. And you know what?
You know what? That's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it was. Guess what? If you do stand up out there, feel free to make a little trouble so that you can live like people.
I should have made trouble.
It wasn't even going to be trouble for him. He's just going to get you a nice hotel. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Nate Craig, you're a delight. And that was fascinating. And look, the hour's over.
And I just want to apologize to all your listeners for talking sports for this whole time. But thank you for the opportunity.
No, there are definitely sports stories out there, which is why we keep trying. Okay. Yeah, we keep trying. And
there's room for a little capture the flag in the Dork Forest.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. And it's always my error. It is never the error of the person that's sitting across from me. The wrestling episode was a perfect episode because Mike Schmidt and Andy Peters just took over. Anyway, because as did you. Well, I love plug and play, you guys. I love it when the topic comes up and then we talk and it's the best.
Thank you, Jackie.
So thank you so much for doing the show. And you Rangers, you know the rules. Take care of each other out there.
My hat, they're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?